Amen. Let me invite you to open your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, if you'd find verse 24. It's sure good to see everybody here tonight. I want to welcome everyone joining us on the live stream where we started a new study last week entitled Avoiding Confusion. And this new study is going to go on for several weeks, and I'm excited about it. But there's a lot of confusion in our world today. A lot of people having a hard time knowing what's right, what's wrong, what's true, and what's false. And the only way we can find truth is to go to the source of truth, and that's the Word of God. We go to the Bible, and we look at everything through a biblical worldview, and we want to start all of this study with laying the right foundation. Our foundation is critical to any building that we have. Our worldview is critical, the way that we look at things, the way that we interpret the data that comes to us. We want to make sure that we look at it the right way. So we want to look through at everything in our lives through a biblical lens with a biblical worldview. We want to make sure that all of everything in our lives, everything that we believe, everything that we do is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and His Word. If you're able, let's stand together. We're going to read Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for allowing us together around your word. I pray that anyone here or hearing this message tonight, if they have not laid the foundation of Jesus Christ in their life by repenting of their sin and putting their faith in Christ alone, I pray that tonight would be the night that they would call on your name, that they would trust in you with all their heart. Lord, thank you that you love us so much that while we're sinners, you still died for us, that you love us, that you've given everything for us. You've done everything that is necessary for us to be forgiven and set free. I pray that everyone hearing this message is saved. If they're not, they will be before they leave tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would help all of us to grow in your grace and knowledge, to follow you, to be true disciples, to build our lives on your truth, and to always look at everything that comes at us through the lens of your Holy Scriptures. Please bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. So last week, we kind of introduced the lesson and just understanding that everybody has a worldview, and we're all looking at life through a certain lens. And we talked about how many of you have corrective lenses. Like, I think the majority of you wear glasses or contacts, and you see things differently. And sometimes before you get glasses, you don't even know that you need them. You don't even realize how much better it is with them until you're without them. And so what we want to do is make sure that we're looking at everything clearly through the lens of Scripture. And the way we do that is by building our lives on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the cornerstone. He is the foundation. That foundation is Christ Himself. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20 says that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, there's no other foundation, 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That foundation's laid. The moment you repent of your sin, you put your faith in Jesus, He becomes what your life is built on. Your life, the decisions you make, everything you do from that point forward has to be built on Christ, and we build on Him by building on His Word. What He has given us through His prophets, through His apostles, Himself being the chief cornerstone. So in the Old Testament, prophets and apostles were used of God. In the Old Testament, prophets, the apostles of the New Testament were given to us to lay the foundational truths of the Word of God. The Scriptures God revealed through those prophets and apostles are the foundation on which we build our lives. And we look to the book of Acts, In the early church, when the church was empowered by the Spirit of God, the Bible says in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So the foundation's laid the moment you trust in Jesus, but being saved isn't the finish line. Being saved is the starting point, and now you continue in the truth of the Word of God. Now you continue to build your life on the Word of God. You make your decisions based on the Word of God. You build your marriage and your family, and you raise your children on the truths of the Word of God. And so He is the foundation. He is the cornerstone. And Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste, or he that believes on Jesus will not be ashamed. You won't be turned away. When your faith is in that cornerstone, He is the foundation of your life and your eternity. Matthew 21 and verse 42. Matthew 21 and verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And Jesus would point back to Isaiah. He would point back to the Old Testament prophets. He would say, I am the fulfillment. And just because you're rejecting me now, all you're doing is fulfilling what my word said you would do. And we look in history, in the days of Noah, the world rejected God's message. Israel rejected God's message. We look at the time of the prophets when the prophets would stand and preach the truth of God's word. They would slay the prophets. They would kill the prophets. They would imprison the prophets. We look at the Jews who literally saw Jesus. The Jews who literally saw Jesus perform miracles. The Jews who heard him and they were astounded at his doctrine. They never heard a man speak like him before, and yet they still rejected him. Jesus has been rejected throughout history. And make no mistake about it, Jesus is rejected in the world today. Whether or not the world accepts or rejects something, that's not what determines whether it's true or not. What the Bible says determines whether something is true or not. So many times people think, well, it's majority rules. Whatever the majority of people believe, that's what's right. And I got news for you. What the majority is doing is almost certainly not right. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. We need to understand that. Lee Strobel said, many people consider it arrogant, narrow-minded, and bigoted for Christians to contend that the only path to God must go through Jesus of Nazareth. In a day of religious pluralism and tolerance, this exclusivity claim is politically incorrect, a verbal slap in the face of other belief systems. You need to make sure that you understand this tonight. The claim of Christianity, the claim of the Bible, is that Jesus Christ is God, who came in the flesh, who died for the sins of the world, and rose again. The claim of Jesus Christ is that he is the only way for men to be saved. That is an exclusive claim. But I got news for you. Jesus is the only one who died to pay for the sins of the world. Jesus is the only one who laid down his life and took it up again. Jesus is the only one who from the cross looked down at his murderers and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's the only one that has the power to forgive sins. He's the only one that has the power to give life. And so, yes, it's exclusive. And yes, many are rejecting him. But friend, I want to plead with you tonight that you don't reject him, but that you would trust in him with all your heart. He's the only one who can save. And if you'll believe on him, he will save. Jesus has been rejected. There are a lot of anti-Christian ideologies in the world today. Two of the most popular ones in America today are known as humanism and liberalism. The cornerstone of the American Humanist Association is their slogan is good without a God. Here's what the American humanists say. The American Humanist Manifesto, too, says, as non-theists, we begin with humans, not God. Nature, not deity. This is signed by many in the highest levels of academia. It's a bold statement of their independence from God. Where you and I stand today, if we have any wisdom at all, is in utter dependence on God. The humanist says we don't need God. We start with humans. But it's just there's no way to look at this world in any logical sense apart from the framework of the truth of the Word of God. If you take God out of the equation, listen, you take God out of the equation, all we are is stardust. All we are is bags of meat bumping into each other. There is no right, there is no wrong, there is no logic, there is no reason, there is no truth. Those things do not exist in a universe without God. And so all the humanist can do is try to claim things like truth and good, but good doesn't exist if you're just bags of meat that came from exploded stars. There is no good. There is no truth. There is no right. There is no wrong. And so what they want to do is they want to borrow from a biblical worldview and bring it into their worldview and then kick God out of it. And friends, it simply doesn't work. It's illogical. It doesn't work. That's the humanist view. The liberals of the day, liberalism rejects Christ as the cornerstone. They claim openness to new ideology, and they insist on tolerance of everything except Christianity. The United Church of Canada has recently dealt with an apparently confounding and controversial question. Can an atheist serve as a pastor? The pastor in question was Greta Vosper, who made her atheism public. Belief in God, according to Vosper, belongs to an outdated worldview. The United Church of Canada conducted a cost-benefit analysis and decided that Vosper's heresy was the lesser of two evils. The denomination weighed faith in God against inclusivity and valued inclusivism higher than theological fidelity. They allowed Vosper to remain in her role as a pastor. Friends, that's what happens when you bring liberalism into something and try to make it Christian. It doesn't work. So what we want to do is stand on the truth of the Word of God. Unto you, therefore, which believe. Listen to this. I'm going to end with this, and you need to get it. It's 1 Peter 2:7. 1 Peter 2:7. Man. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. To those of you in the room tonight who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, can you say he is precious? He is precious. He is the pearl of great price. He is my only hope and my salvation. He is my all and all. He is everything. He is the preeminent one. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And because I have believed on him, I know how precious he is. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. To you that believe, he's precious, but to them who have rejected him, he is nothing but a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. But you heed me well tonight. Listen, if you reject him, ultimately, fully, finally reject him, you'll trip over him in this life, but he will crush you at the judgment. Trust in him. He is the cornerstone, the only foundation on which to build a life that will last in eternal life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace and mercy. I pray anyone hearing this message who's never been saved, Lord, that you would just give them illumination, give them understanding, help them to see and understand that we are all sinners, that we have all broken your commandments, that we are all dead in our trespasses and sins without Christ. Help them to see your amazing love for them, that Jesus died for their sins and rose again, that even though we're sinners, you love us and you made a way for us. And I pray, Lord, that even now they would repent and believe, that tonight they would trust in you as their Savior. And for all who are saved, Father, please help us to build our lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ and your word, to build wisely on your truths. Please bless in our small groups. Please bless those that are at home, unable to be here. Lord, we pray for their healing, their help, for you to help them and give them grace. And we just pray, Lord, that you will help us to grow closer to you, closer to one another. And Father, I pray that the number of the disciples will be multiplied in this place to your glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.